Mildy to Mild bitches, and welcome to episode 5 of Bad Hat Harry.
Is it 5 already?
It's 5.
Damn.
You know what you did?
I missed 4 of them? Is that it?
Well, it's a debatable presence on the other 4. But what you did was, on the last podcast, you said biographical a lot.
I did.
And biographical not once.
Damn.
Is that a word?
No, it's not. I must have been drunk.
It was really funny because you said it every time.
Biographical.
And you also, biographical.
Biographical.
And you also said autobiographic when I'm sure you meant biographical.
Yeah.
So that
you shouldn't point out this misogyny.
That was pretty funny, dude.
It's bad for my psyche.
And we got better sound than we had before, so I could really listen and pick out the
okay.
Where your folk bars.
So we're learning, and we're also learning that we fuck up, or I fuck up, which is not good.
No, you learn, you improve.
And you grow.
Become a better person.
Makes me want to be a better man.
We're talking about sequels today.
Is it? So it was prequels.
You. Well, prequels or sequels. Because if there's a prequel, you can just consider the, the one that you saw before is the sequel, I guess. Prequels or sequels. And there's been
Didn't I mention a prequel last time?
Maybe.
The Rise of the Lycans? Bad film.
Was that a prequel?
It's a prequel, yeah. It's crap.
That would be with the Rise of...
It's... Ugh. No good act. Not even with Bill Nye in there. It's got... There's no saving grace at all.
Before we get into the topic, watched anything good? Last week?
Honestly, no. That's including Californication. For me, the first episode was, you know, it's introduction and everything. It's fun. It's just something different. And then it gets all too... He's up and until the fourth episode, he's already too goody two shoes and, you know, Dora, I love you. And that's just like, ugh.
You say that, but I don't even remember that part of his character. I watched it when it debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And... gave the show, I guess, a couple of episodes and just didn't like it because, as I told you, it just seemed too shallow. There just wasn't enough to it to keep me interested. There was no hook.
I feel the same thing. The character isn't that interesting. Like, remember with House, you kind of, you don't know if you really like him or not, but you do like him, but he's a bit of a dick as well. This guy is too sweet.
Really? Is that?
Yeah.
I thought he was a philanderer deluxe.
No, dude. Even the bitch is philandering with... He's like... too nice with her. Like... He hurls in front of this one chick and then she hurls and he goes like... Oh, but no we.
And that's your specific objection to the series?
One of the many.
Okay.
That's the one thing that stands out, which is... It's an obvious thing. And then the other thing is... I just think that... There's no real depth to the character because all he really wants, it seems, after just seeing 4 episodes, he wants to get back with his ex, which is like, God, move the fuck on. Make the character move on from that. That's just like, because I don't see anything there between them anyway. So I don't know if that's the lack of chemistry between the two actors or whatever the fuck. But the only fun thing I've noticed in the whole thing, which is already ended by the 4th episode, is the fucked up shit with the secretary. He's manager. And the secretary, but that's ended by the 4th episode, so it's, you know, dead.
I tuned in, of course, because it was Duchovny.
Same here.
And I like pretty much everything he's done, even though I wasn't a file. I wasn't a fan of the X-Files,
yeah.
Or I didn't watch the TV series. It's not like I ever really gave it a shot, but I watched that first X-Files movie and I liked it. And of course, I like playing God. And like Evolution.
Mm-hmm. Come on, who did not like Evolution?
Yeah. Underrated, I think.
Yeah.
And I watched a few episodes, and I also watched that weird arc where he was banging the... I don't know if she's a schoolgirl in the series, but it's the little girl from The Nanny.
You're talking about Californication?
Yeah.
Is she the little girl from The Nanny?
You know, is she underage in the...
She's underage, yeah, but...
Or something like that. The first time he gets with her, he doesn't know.
The first time he gets with her is in the first episode.
Like, this sort of manipulative little bitch.
He gets with her in the first episode.
First episode. Okay.
And she is the daughter of his wife's husband-to-be, his ex girl or whatever the fuck she is. They never got married or some shit.
Yeah, she was the little one from The Nanny.
Wow.
I forget her name. She's got a weird name. But
and
even
did
that
you know,
was like...
Did you know that the secretary is Macaulay Culkin's ex-wife?
Yeah, that's...
No. I didn't even know that she's been doing shit, like acting. I don't know. I just thought
that
she was like random pickup or some shit.
Does that make any difference, though? Not at all.
Not at all. But I was like, you act? What the fuck? I thought you were just trying to, you know, like, get with the kid and get some money out of a divorce.
So, yeah, not wasn't for me. Is that the only thing you've watched?
Let's see, what did I watch again? I watched Lethal Weapon 2 again last night.
Ah, so it was on.
Excellent fun again.
Diplomatic immunity.
Been decaffeinated.
Do you like the second one as much as you like the first one? I do.
You say, yeah.
I think they're about equal. The very rare action sequel that matches the original, I think.
I even liked everything up until the fourth one. I don't feel there was a bad one.
Oh, buddy. Really?
Yeah. Third one was kind of like...
I think the third one...
A little bit. But the fourth one was fun, dude. It was like seeing old friends on the screen again and just having a laugh. Yeah, and Jet Li's performance in that.
I liked the fourth one quite a bit because it was... Because everybody had... The thing about three was the edge was gone from Riggs and so... And there was nothing else to take its place, and so it wasn't as watchable to me as the first two. And by the fourth one, it had gone so completely that you could just kind of like enjoy
exactly
that new dynamic that they had, the family thing almost.
And then
Rock trying to move into the family thing.
Yeah,
so that was sort of awkward
and
cool
funny
to watch.
As fuck, though. But the sad thing with the third one was also for me though, like you said, also though it got too family orientated, but it was still watchable. It wasn't. I didn't have as much fun as with one and two, but it wasn't that bad.
It doesn't compare. The thing that people have always compared it to, because
it's
I think they were released at more or less the same time, is what?
Oh, what
were you saying?
I wasn't making any sense. Go ahead.
Is the other very famous action series, which is the Die Hard movies. I think they were both released sort of late 80s, around about the same time as Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah, they're talking about the first two.
I'm talking about, the comparisons have always been there between Die Hard
and
Lethal Weapon, but I think that Lethal Weapon was probably released first, and then Die Hard around about the same time as Burton's Batman.
It was in the late 80s,
I think it was.
Pretty much.
And I think the Die Hard series has always done better than the Lethal Weapon series. As a group of movies, or as a series of action flicks, which are better? The Die Hards or the Lethal Weapons?
Die Hard.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think so too.
Because the first one is like so intense and everything, and it's, you know, and it just keeps building up. Very good film.
Two series, though, where you don't feel let down by any of the movies. Mm. Well, like I said, Lethal Weapon 3 to me. But you're going to forget about it when you watch 4 again, so you forgive it as well.
Yeah.
You'd still want to own that box set.
Yeah. I mean, I have... Well, I need to get 1, 2, and 3 because I bought 4 of Lethal Weapon, and I have...
Why didn't you wait for a box set, man?
It was like too... The price was just... too awesome to just deny
myself. You know the box, it's pretty already out there, and I'm sure it's not expensive. Those things are packaged pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get all the Supermans for like
$169. But the price, they pushed the price up with that now. It's back to $200.
It's selling?
Not really. I think that's why they pushed it up. That's
contrary to...
I know it's daft, but... another funny thing was, I was in the stores, when was it, a week ago, and like CD prices have just jumped up, like, for the Christmas season. Yeah.
CD prices.
Yep. Stuff that was going for $50, like, 2 weeks ago is now $99.
How much do you pay for a chart CD?
For it?
Like a typical chart CD.
About $150.
$150, oh, that's
$159, that's the price.
I think that's pretty normal. Sequels. What's the best sequel you've ever seen?
Wow. How do I answer that?
A sequel that... Either the best sequel you've ever seen or a sequel that surpassed the original movie.
Okay.
and you're not allowed to talk about Christopher Nolan's Batman movies.
Damn, you stole my only
that's
answer.
That's too obvious.
It's obviously not Superman 2.
No.
Let's go through the no-nos.
Approach the topic from whichever way you want.
Okay, the other one I also recently watched was, I have Robocop 1 and 2, like I told you. The sequel is not better than the first one, but obviously because you're getting to know the character and everything, all that. Although the second one has oodles of action in it. But as a story, it's nowhere near as good as the first one, so that's a no-no. But it's still watchable, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the remake, if they ever they're saying they're doing it, so I don't know. But I still believe that as, like, you know, that's basically just conjecture or hype or bullshit.
I finally read something about it, and it does seem like Aronofsky's going to go ahead and do it.
So I'm curious to see what's going to be done.
Yeah, me too.
Sequel? Name some. I'm drawing a blank here. Name some sequels.
The obvious ones to me are, I mean,
Dark Knight.
I tend to go to comic, sci-fi, fantasy stuff.
Spider-Man 2.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Which is better than
the first one.
4, whatever you call it now.
Reason being, George Lucas did not direct that one. That's what I believe.
I think that made a big difference as well. But it was just better material. I think the story had gotten... Star Wars really did a great job with setting up that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And two was the movie that delivered on what the first one promised and set it up brilliantly.
For the awesome third one.
You know, for what we thought was going to be the last
one. Yeah. No, but the other ones are prequels. That is the last one.
Yeah, but...
And in my book, you should actually...
No, but I mean...
The prequels. Tell your mind that they don't exist, because they're bad.
They are bad. I found out that I'm kind of in the minority when it comes to how I regard those prequel movies, because I think that they went from mediocre to terrible to slightly above average. No, what?
But the second one is the worst one, the Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah,
the first one was mediocre, and I don't even know if I'm just saying that because it was cool to watch Star Wars. Oh, fuck, don't even get me started. But if I'm more forgiving of that movie just because it felt pretty cool seeing just Star Wars movie again. Mm-hmm. I thought Attack of the Clones was horrible. That terrible fucking movie. And I actually enjoyed Revenge of the Sith.
Sure, yeah, just to see, you know... Obi-Wan and Anakin kicking ass, yeah.
So that's how I regard those movies, but a lot of people think that they got better.
No.
That it was a progression. Fuck no. And I thought it took a huge dip in the middle there with Attack of the Clones.
It went basically to pot.
Completely bored me.
Yep.
And I know it must have bored you because of the fucking, you know, they had to develop the Anakin Amidala story, right? Quite a lot of that movie had to dwell on why these two...
Yeah.
Oh. Why Anakin has to eventually turn because of, you know, that what happened to her.
Yeah, this is a crap puller. It's bad. But another one that I was thinking of as a good sequel was Can you even remember watching the first Star Trek movie?
Not very well.
But Wrath of Khan is good.
I enjoy Wrath of Khan.
I've watched the first Star Trek movie like a month ago, and I watched Wrath of Khan shortly after it, and Wrath of Khan is way better.
That's the theory, though, with Star Trek movies, is that people say that every even-numbered movie is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's true. I mean, the ones that stand out to me that I've enjoyed is Wrath of Khan and Undiscovered Country and everything else. What was the fourth one? What's the third one?
Search for Spock is the third one.
Fourth?
No.
What's Journey Home is...
That's fourth.
Is that fourth?
That's fourth.
That's such a dopey movie.
It's bad, yeah. That's the worst one. Final Frontier has got some funny moments in it, which I kind of find fun just for the goofy, but because you get to see Doc McCoy mouthing off in that one, in Final Frontier, which is why I like it, which also I also dig the new one, because the guy who plays McCoy in the new one is like, it's hilarious, and the delivery is spot on. And I like the things...
I can never remember if he's Keith or Carl. What's his name?
It's Carl Urban.
Carl. The other, one of them is a country star.
Yeah, that's Keith Urban.
Is that Keith?
Yeah.
And the Kiwi is
Carl.
Carl, okay.
Because I was like, first, when I saw the name, I was like, no, there's no way, that cannot be the country singer, because they look totally different
I don't even know what the country guy looks like, I just know that name.
I just know the dude is long hair. And I was like, but then again, he could have cut it for the character, you know? I was like, oh my god, I hope not. And it's not.
I mean, come on,
not.
You remember Urban from... I've always liked him in the Bourne movies, and was he just in the one?
Just the one. And then he was also in Lord of the Rings.
He was in Lord of the Rings, he was...
Yomi? Yep. Mm. And is he the guy in Pathfinder?
I have not and will not watch that movie.
Anyway, I don't know. Our friend of ours dug the film quite a lot.
Who?
Francois.
Really? And you?
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it. It's been on lately. So I might actually, if I've got absolutely nothing else to do, I might sit and watch it. But I'm not, you know.
Not got a way to watch it.
Just to see it.
Jaws the sequel?
is a drop off from, and we don't have to discuss purely the second movie if it was a series of movies. Okay. I mean, everything after the first one is a sequel to me.
Obviously.
It's not Spielberg's Jaws, which is close to my favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. But I told you that there is one aspect of that movie which wasn't explored enough and which would have made it a much more interesting movie, which is Brody's paranoia, how fucked up he is about what happened in the first movie.
Yeah.
And they didn't play it up. Mm-mm. And stayed away for the, you know, they went cheap with the cheap sequences that were supposed to scare and didn't really. With the shark in the water with the kids. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. And then got worse with 3 in fucking 3D.
And then it was absolutely absurd in the fourth one.
And then it was absurd, wasn't it? That was Michael Caine was filming Jaws the Revenge when he was supposed to pick up an Oscar. He missed the Oscar ceremony.
Are you serious?
Jaws the Revenge.
Fucking hell.
I'm sure he tells himself exactly that at night when he goes to bed. He's like, oh my word. Really? I did that?
Why? Why?
I hope that paycheck was huge.
You
know what?
What other good
odd sequel that I enjoyed? Maybe not more than, but at least as much as the original. And I thought it was kind of a bold movie.
What?
The second Babe movie. Big in the City.
Are you serious?
Have you seen it?
No. You, I can't even bring myself to watch the first one, dude.
It was... I watched the first one, and I think it was... It was usually hyped, of course. People talked about it
a lot. Did you go on your own volition to go and see it? Or you pulled along?
I must have seen it on TV. And it was... I guess what I expected, like a cute movie. But people were really crazy about it, I think. It was huge.
It was
hype,
big, yeah.
I remember. And I thought it was, you know, it was as expected. And then I watched the sequel because it was on some Sunday and was pleasantly surprised by how unusual and, I'm not going to say dark, but it wasn't your average, and it's not what you eat. Because they usually go fluffy with, you know, you have a fucking talking pig. They go very fluffy with sequels to, you know, that sort of Disney
and by that,
movie.
And they
Disney-fy it.
And by that you don't mean Miss Piggy.
Huh?
Talking pig. You must clarify.
Yeah,
not
no,
Miss
Piggy. I'm talking about Babe. And they didn't do that with Pig in the City. They went to a kind of a darker place, and I really enjoyed it. It was cool because it's something that I hadn't planned on watching. It was just, turned on the TV, it was just starting, sat through it and enjoyed it. So... That to me is a sequel that worked. The sequel that was, I guess, to me, better than the original.
You just made me lose like a cool sequel now. I've totally forgotten what it was.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What the hell? Oh, so my mind will wander that way sometime during this conversation.
There's lots of terrible sequels that have been made, though. And again, the same old genres of sci-fi and comic book type movies is, and the Matrix ones stand out.
That's the thing I was thinking of, how bad that sequel was. The first one was so fucking awesome, and it just went like...
That second movie lost me...
The third.
Completely lost me in the Neo-Smith fight sequence, and the fucking pseudo-philosophical mumbo-jumbo that the architect was spewing. And how people could like that movie with such a huge part of it being that... bullshit.
Yeah, like that rave scene, that wasn't even needed in there.
Oh, but I mean, fine, you see that in a million other movies, but you don't have movies that fucking take out, that call a time out to wax philosophical about God knows what, dude, because I sure as hell haven't figured it out yet. And I doubt that anybody else who watched that movie could figure it out.
I think
You lost 99% of your audience with that fucking bullshit where Colonel Sanders is sitting in front of his bank of television screens saying things that nobody's understanding.
Talking about empty buckets.
Empty buckets?
Oh, it could be, because we don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Might be empty buckets.
You lose just about everybody. Which is why...
He lost me. I was sleeping by that time.
I was sitting there looking around going like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Does anybody understand this? If you do, explain it to me.
Explain it
to me. Yeah, you got some explain it to me, man. That's what I want to say to the fucking Wachowskis.
But that's a horrible, that's one of the worst sequels I've seen.
And it was, a part of it was in the third movie as well, because the fucking architect shows up there
too.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, you start, it grates on you when he shows up on screen in the third one. And I actually think that third movie has kind of, I don't know, it's starting to redeem itself in my mind just because of the part that we actually liked the first time we watched it as well, which was the battle sequence.
Yeah.
That weird,
that's the only thing.
That dude in that fucking
thing. Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. And then a little kid, the 16-year-old who helps him.
The kid who helps him is very sci-fi war movie-ish.
That's the only part that I liked about the third one.
He makes his little short little speech to get them going. They stand there, they fucking man up to the millions of sentinels that are going to come.
And it also, like, kind of like, because we like the war movie genre, that also clicks in there. Because it's a sci-fi war movie, basically, that sequence.
It's very cool. I like that part of the movie. Neo's whole journey towards the, you know, the big baby face and all of that other shit.
Big baby face.
You know, he goes to the machine
and he becomes Jesus, right?
He talks to big baby face and then he dies. Yeah,
yeah.
He gets Jesusified.
Cyber Jesus.
That's, you know, I felt fuck all about that.
Yeah, we were like cracking jokes about that shit, remember?
Yeah, we probably were. We definitely were. And also the Neo-Trinity love story. I mean, that's like two sticks falling in love. It made no sense to me.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Talk about zero chemistry or no motivation.
Yeah, there's no real. Yeah, there's anything. No.
Those two people fell in love and they kind of died for each other.
Yeah.
And why? Right? It was as if somebody.
And love brought him back, right? Or some shit like that. They kissed and his heart started beating again. Some bullshit.
He saved her like that.
Or some shit like that. Or some fucked up Juliet, Romeo and Juliet thing they tried to do there.
Some,
yeah.
Jesus, I can't even remember. But yeah, there was love saved them, I guess. But why they were in love,
we don't know.
It was as if somebody decided
figured that she was the lure to get him to go along with Morpheus' bullshit. Because to him, Morpheus is spouting shit, right? This is the guy who doesn't know shit from shit. And, you know, and... They got him by the nads. That's how I saw him in the first one. You know? That she's the lure and she's not, you know, the love of my life. That kind of bullshit.
It's just, why, man, why?
Dude, I don't like Schmaltz in full.
There's
so
no
you
moment
know
where you feel that. I feel that it's necessary to justify that sort of emotion in a movie. You watch, and we're kind of off sequels now. But you watch a movie like Garden State, for instance, and you can understand why that dude is into that chick, right? It is such a wonderfully told story, character story.
Yep.
And even though it's not that genre, it's still unforgivable to me not to put that in somehow. You have to justify something that motivates people to do the, you know, the huge gestures in the movie. It seemed like one moment they were... You know, they were pulling him out of the Matrix.
And then
the
he's suddenly in love.
They're in love.
Yeah, exactly.
It's retarded. I didn't like it.
How do you feel about Transformers, the sequel? Is it better than the first one?
Well, in retrospect, it's probably not a very good movie.
I agree. I agree with that.
You kind of can go with the story because you have such a... I like the first
you
one.
You have such a love for the first one.
I like the first one.
that's the thing that everybody has when they watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You love those first three. Although Table of Doom was kind of bad. And then you're just like, you know, and then you realize that, watching it the second time, you realize just how bad.
Dude, is one of the better sequels of
all
time.
It's fucking awesome. And it fixes the mess that Temple of Doom was as well.
Wait, I had a point. What was I talking
Finally
about?
Finally, I got you off track.
What was I talking about?
You were talking about Transformers not being as good as the first one, the sequel. Yeah,
it was ridiculous. The comedic bits that they gave to the parents. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know.
But the comedic bit they gave to the parents was... I don't know. It was... The things that you chuckled at in the first movie was way overplayed.
Yeah,
that's basically
one.
What was wrong with the second movie. But of course... I totally buy into the... What's his face?
Shia.
Optimus's... What? What did you say?
How do you say his name?
Shia.
Anyway? Shia, okay.
No, but Optimus Prime's hero moments, where he's just the badass leader, yeah? My favorite parts of the movies. I just want him... I want him to just
kick
beat
ass.
The shit out
exactly.
of Decepticons.
Same here. Same here. I was hoping to see more of that.
Wasn't that your favorite part of the first movie?
Yeah.
Where he turns around...
Right? And does the
fucking
thing
transforms and beats the shit
yeah.
out of him. It was also my favorite part of the second movie, where he, in the beginning, fights against the Decepticons.
Yep.
And then he fights against them in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
they kill him. That was awesome.
Really, to me, Transformers movie should just be Optimus
fighting
Decepticons.
I also like the geriatrics dude, like kicking some ass, showing some old school shit.
It was pretty cool to do that to one of those characters. To show them as, you know, it's the anthropomorphic... part of a Transformer.
Yeah.
They age.
Yeah.
You know, they life force.
Yeah.
Because you tend to just think of them
as
Carl or Robert.
Yeah, exactly. And that was cool to see that as well.
Yeah, like.
And obviously, the really funny scene when Shia is making out with a chick and she's a Fembot!
Yeah,
and we cracked the fuck up, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Even though that was the most... I'm sure that was Princeton. It looked like Princeton. And...
Princeton? Oh, yeah, and all the Princeton are fine!
The Princeton student body has never looked like that in its entire history.
and the club scene, like, everybody's just, like smoking fine.
Club
and
scene? You mean frat scene?
Oh, that was a frat party,
like a
right?
Club. Yeah. We've never been to parties like that. Not even in a club. So that's pretty much how I feel about the Transformers.
What else?
They're making a third one. You spoke about it.
Apparently she's been killed off in the first 10 minutes. Your lady, Megan Fox.
Which is an odd choice, man.
Yeah, you would want her to get naked in the film and stay in there and live.
There's a lot of teenage boys and you who go to go and watch her in those movies. And to kill her off is odd. Are you sure this is not just a bad move. It's just rumor though, right?
They're saying it's the thing, but I think it's rumor. But the way that their choice
or hers?
Apparently, it's Michael Bay who said like you're done.
Wow.
Because they had beef apparently, but I think that's hype, man, to get people to go and see how they kill off or whatever the fuck. Because, as you know, with most movies, what you hear before the film is out is 90% of the time shit.
Yeah, and on some movies more so than on others.
Yeah,
like the Batman movies, for instance. Mm. The rumor mole works overtime on those movies, and it's almost always wrong.
Yeah. Oh, and it's not a sequel, but it's... I still have beef with it. The Incredible Hulk. Beef. Lots of beef.
Reboot. And we're still very much in the minority when it comes to the way we view those movies.
What other films are there that's good? That's really good sequels? Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3. Can you call it a sequel, or do you see just one film?
No. I think I suppose technically they are, even though he'd probably be shot that it's just
one
big thing.
Yeah. But being like me, I'm a fan of the book. Should I see it as a one piece or as three parts? Because Tolkien also wrote it as three parts. He released it as three parts. He didn't release it.
The movies make more. The way that the movies are divided makes more sense though than the way Tolkien wrote it in the books because. Like, if you think about how Fellowship ends, I mean, Boromir dies in the beginning of the second book. And it just makes more sense in the movie for him to die
at the end of the first one,
right? It's the bookends are more natural in the movies. And I like them all, but I like the first one more than I like the second one, and the third one most of all. But that's perhaps just the storytelling. You know, you like the conclusion to the story. You like the beginning, the introduction to the characters, because you see the world for the first time as well. And that's a movie thing. But the reason I like the last movie, I guess, is because that's the conclusion to the story, and it's spectacular to see it like that. Kevin Smith, who doesn't give a shit about Hobbits, all those books, and have never read
them and their preciouses.
Yeah, whipping out their preciouses.
That's also an excellent sequel.
It is, Clerks 2.
Clerks 2.
But he was very impressed with the Minas Tirith battle.
Oh, wow.
And it is impressive.
It is, yeah. But I...
So, yeah, if you...
Did you watch them?
Did you watch them?
Did Kev watch all three?
Yeah, he watched them.
Wow. I would think he would like steer
everybody
clear from
in the world watch them.
Because he always gripes about them and their preciouses.
He probably got screeners, and so why not? Yeah. Put it in. But he was very impressed. I specifically remember what that Minas Tirith battle.
You remember that? I don't know if you remember, but I had a lot of gripes about the films the first time I saw it.
Of course I remember. But your beef.
It grew on me the more I watched it. And I understand now why I omitted certain things. And because, you know, I mean, for years that was like the book for me. And I've always wanted it to be put on screen.
Still your favorite books?
Nope.
Really? What has supplanted them?
What has supplanted them?
Yes.
Right off the top of my head right now, I can't think of one. But
if you bump them off the top, it would be for...
But just reading them again recently, I've grown too much. I think it's too.
You are very much in love with those books.
Yeah, and it was shocking for myself to realize that there's not much going on really in those books. That there's no real interaction between the characters, and it's just like it was like a long traveling story. Exactly where Kev feels about it. Just a lot of walking.
And three movies about walking.
Yeah, and it was weird that I reacted towards it like that when I read it a year ago. So, I don't know. It's what I find more interesting now is... What book would I... For me still, but I haven't read it in a while. I want to get into Good Omens again because that book was so... I remember it as being really fun and awesome, but will I feel about it the same when I read it now?
I think you might.
I don't think I might. I don't think.
You have doubts?
Because I've read some other Pratchett stuff now recently, and it's feeling bland. But it might be because I've read it too much.
But Good Omens was such a weird story.
I would love that to be made into a film, though. That would work on screen, I think.
It had a lot
more
to
than
do
the others.
I think it had a lot to do with Neil Gaiman's influence, the influence of a guy that writes just weird comic books on Pratchett, and why they haven't made it a film. Movie.
I don't know.
Pretty weird.
Oh, and I'm
before we move off Lord of the Rings, are you excited, interested? Do you have trepidation over the Hobbit movie?
Honestly, I feel really nothing till I see it for that, because now realizing that my beef was unnecessary when I watched the Lord of the Rings the first time around, I'm rather gonna wait till I see what they've done with it.
Although it must be said that the director, of course, has changed to somebody that...
Because I don't really know much of what's going on with it at all.
I enjoy Guillermo del Toro's work. You're not as big a fan.
No, dude. Pan's Labyrinth, awesome.
You didn't really like the Hellboy movies?
The what?
You didn't really like the Hellboy movies that much.
No, I didn't like it that much, but Pan's Labyrinth redeemed him for me.
Man had no reason to be redeemed. He's always done well. According to me, but you haven't always felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, Hellboy always has felt to me that that's a sequel that actually is better than the first one for me.
It is,
and
not
but
that there was anything wrong with the first movie.
But I still felt that there was something lacking, and I don't know what. But with Pan's Labyrinth,
try and articulate it.
It's too PG. I think that's my only beef, probably.
Why you want to see him busting skulls?
Yeah. He's fucking Hellboy. Why is he wearing kid gloves? What the fuck?
And what is this from your experience reading Hellboy comic books?
No, just from that character. With that character, you can do so much more than what he's doing on there.
Yeah, but look, there's a comic book that he has to live up to, and I have never read the Hellboy comics, so I don't know whether he's the necessarily busting skulls type of guy, or whether he's just a bigger, a more badass version of Spider-Man, who'd rather crack a joke and punch you in the face than break a skull open Frank Castle style. So,
but Pan's Labyrinth was brilliant, though. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Pan's Labyrinth was extraordinary.
Another one.
The dark fairy tale that people should make more often.
Yeah.
That a guy like, I mean, Terry Gilliam made his version of a dark fairy tale when he made Tideland, which isn't monsters in the conventional sense, but
I've never
a
seen
fantastic
that.
Movie that isn't a sequel. I'm feeling way too constrained by our topic today, but watch Tideland.
Okay. What did you think of... now you've got me all on that film's name now, trying to remember it, and I'm lost what I was wanting to say. What's the other thing that they're busy with now? You say something, I'm thinking.
Say something, quick. I read somewhere, and I can't remember where, that the three best sequels were, or rather, it went like this. Godfather 2 is better than Godfather. Huck Finn is better than Tom Sawyer, and the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. I can't remember who said that, but I thought about that, and I can't really agree with it. I can agree that Huck Finn's better than Tom Sawyer. I can't really speak to the Godfather movies because...
You're not a fan of them?
It's been a very long time.
Same year, too
since
long.
I've watched them, and I think I watched them 1, 2, 3, and I just need to watch them again.
Same year. My recollection is that I did like...
And it's kind of... I feel... You know, it's weird to talk about sequels today and not be able to say anything about the movie that most people regard as the greatest sequel of all time, which is
Dark
Godfather
Knight.
2.
Oh, no. Dark Knight. I'm thinking Dark Knight when you're talking greatest sequel ever.
9 out of 10 guys especially will tell you that Godfather 2 is the sequel to end all sequels. Mm.
What about the Bourne movies?
Do you think the New Testament is better than the Old Testament?
There's no better fiction than the Old Testament, I think.
It's because of the Jesus thing, right? Yeah. It's because people like Jesus. But, I mean, the Old Testament's fucking chock-a-block.
Sodom and Gomorrah and everything
sex,
in there.
Sex, violence, and you know, all that good stuff.
And fire and brimstone and eye for an eye shit.
The Old Testament's good shit.
What about the Bourne films? Do they get better?
Oh, yes, they definitely do.
Are you
do.
Sure?
It was...
Am I blaspheming by saying that?
Thoroughly.
Asking that?
It was such a pleasant experience for me to watch those movies get better.
They just push up the bar every time.
And it was weird because Doug Liman did the first one and then Paul Greengrass took over. Mm. And I have to admit I was a little bit like, you know, what's he gonna do? Because I enjoyed Bourne Identity so much, but then he made a better movie.
A movie, yeah.
And then made the ultimate movie appropriately. And now there's a fourth one coming. At
I'm
some
so,
point.
So,
I don't know
I
where
can't wait to
Matty
see
Damon's
that.
Gonna squeeze that in because that boy Slate is
Yeah. And you're saying Invictus is your feeling.
I did not like the trailer.
I haven't seen squat about that film yet, so I'm curious to see the trailer to see if I feel the same.
And part of, I mean, I mentioned that I felt that it was awkward, but the other thing is also that nobody has ever filmed rugby that looks realistic.
Never. The worst one is probably on Friends.
Oh, yeah. But you can forgive them because they're a sitcom. You don't expect them to get it right.
There is oodles of rugby footage available go and use.
When they show Ross the rugby footage and they show him the gayest of all rugby footage. And somehow this is tough stuff. That was weird, yeah. But you can kind of go, it's just for chuckles.
Mm-hmm.
But in a movie like Number 10 with Colin Moss, they should know better. And really, if you're going to make a movie about rugby with those people, it's going to be flimsy. The story's going to be flimsy. At least fucking get the rugby right.
You're right, yeah.
And they didn't. And the CGI crowd was the worst part almost of that whole experience.
Are you serious?
You didn't see that movie?
I've never watched it. I will not watch it. Even if there was a titty in there, I wouldn't watch it.
Spectacular
nothing would get
CGI
me to watch
crowd.
Wow.
The crowd is always out of focus.
God damn.
It's terrible.
So it's basically blurry people going...
Yeah, and sort of red. Like, very monochrome.
So there was nobody... Everybody's the same color in the audience.
Everybody bought the team jersey as well. So the Invictus rugby scenes didn't look good. The little bit that I saw.
Sure.
Okay. Very little bit. So I might be wrong about it. And I don't know why, dude, because they do... they do it so well in football movies.
Mm.
I mean, football movies look better than the game.
Friday Night Lights was awesome. The rugby scenes in there.
I watch football movies, and I watch football, and my enjoyment of watching football is enhanced by the fact that I've seen football movies where they, you know, where you get POV shots and you get right close in the action, and I know what it sounds like up close and all of that, right? So the movies have made me enjoy football more.
More.
The physicality while of the
rugby
game more.
Just can put you off. Whereas rugby in film.
You know, it's just gay. In a movie.
It's cross-grabbing and shit in the scrum huddle, touching some balls.
It doesn't look as tough as I know the game is.
And some other sequels that you can think of that's worth a watch? Because I'm drawing a blank here. We all know that Superman 2 is crap and 3. Superman Returns also. Do you think that the guy maybe went in like, look, Superman went from really good to bad, so I got to make a bad one as well? To fit in with that line.
What are you talking about?
Superman Returns. Because it's just as bad as Superman 4.
Well,
come on!
You're a very harsh critic of that movie. I just think it wasn't a great Superman movie. I'm not going to call it a bad movie necessarily. I just think it wasn't a great Superman movie. Or even a good movie. It was okay, and it shouldn't have been okay. It should have been very good.
Especially with the budget and everything.
Massive.
Yeah. And the worst director again?
Superman Returns. Singer.
See, and that guy has missed, like, with a couple of films now.
But he made X2, which was way better than the first X-Men.
Yeah, but X3, who did that?
That was...
That's also a horrible sequel.
The Rush Hour guy?
Brett Ratner?
Ratner did 3.
Wow. Did you know that Rennie Harlan did Cliffhanger? It's actually a good film. I watched it again recently. It's not bad. It holds up, dude.
I
remember. Because he goes hardcore in that. I mean, Stallone does all his fucking own stunts in that fucking movie.
He's quite the tough guy.
Because I don't think Arnie would ever have signed on for something like that.
Didn't we agree that Stallone was a better athlete than Arnie, though?
Yes.
Arnie had one great thing going for him, which was that body of his.
Yep.
But I'd always felt that Stallone was the better athlete. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that Stallone was more gutsy than Arnie ever was with certain things, because he would do physicality and he would also go for acting roles, you know.
He would try.
He wasn't afraid of. I might suck at this fucking thing. Like when he tried to do a Marlon Brando impression on Larry King, and it was horrible, but he went for it. He swung for the fences, you know. Arnie is very cautious because. I mean, apparently, from the get-go, he was thinking of doing what he's doing now. So everything was kind of planned.
Look, I don't think anybody's ever going to accuse Arnold of being an artist. He wanted to get into movies, I guess, to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, he succeeded in that. So he didn't need to be experimental with what he did as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, a means to an end for him.
Although True Lies works, though, it still stands.
Yeah, but you know, that I don't think Arnold looked at that script and thought, wow, this is fantastic. This is going to put me on the map. I think he looked at that script and went, it's Jim Cameron. It's going to make a lot of money. I'm going to do it.
And they're paying me also a shitload.
The Rocky movies. In the first podcast, I think we covered how the Rocky sequels progressed.
Yeah. Has Arnold ever done movies other than Terminator that sequeled?
Did he? Terminator.
Two is, I love two way more than the first one.
Two is the great movie.
Mm.
Jim Cameron's pretty weird in that he makes a good sequel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people prefer his Aliens movie as well.
Yeah.
You know, to Ridley's movie.
Mm.
And nobody likes Fincher's movie for some reason.
What movie?
Fincher, who made the third one.
I like the third one. That's the one in the prison,
you know,
right?
Jim Cameron made
right? The third one is the one in the prison.
Yes.
I dug it. I like it more than the second one.
Now, most people will say that Aliens is a better movie than Alien. But Jim Cameron started with a sequel, because didn't he make Piranha 2?
A movie
I'm dying to see.
Again?
Huh? What? Again what?
Piranha 2.
Yes. Isn't that where he started?
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember.
But I haven't seen that film in any video store ever.
I'd love to see it because that's like You know, that's a bloody Corman picture that he made there. That's the B-grade yeah. horror movie. You know, you have to fucking watch it.
I found out recently where Spielberg started out. His first gig.
What was it?
Columbo, episode one.
Wow.
And apparently Peter Falk said, this kid has got some chops. He knows what he's doing.
He's quite an interesting guy because I think he was on Dinner for Five.
Peter Falk?
Peter Falk, yeah.
I've never seen that guy talk or, you know, other than being Columbo.
I think he was on there, and it was quite interesting listening to him tell stories. Cool guy.
Apparently he's going senile now or something. 82, probably time to go senile by now. But,
you know, a movie I saw somebody trash there not too long ago is Lost World. People feel that that's a terrible sequel.
I liked it. It was fun.
I did like it. I thought it was fun. And am I wrong about that?
Nope.
I haven't seen it recently.
Nope. I watched it recently. The third one is crap. That's horrible shit. But the second one is it's watchable. It works. Yeah. And it works as a sequel as well. Because, you know, Sam is not there though. He's off with the chicky being a couple. You know?
Yeah, right. That's how they set that up.
And what's his name?
Goldblum,
but his character, yeah, his name.
Malcolm?
Malcolm, yeah. Malcolm, yeah, but I can't remember what the surname is. He's already, like, he's had a kid by then. So it's a proper sequel.
And she's black.
Yeah. And a lot of people were going, How could you?
What did you do? What? This is weird. And Vince Vaughn's in there, of
funny,
course.
I mean, he's funny in that form. I like his deliveries. But we all like Goldblum's delivery, or the way he says things and whatnot.
It's weird seeing Vince Vaughn and Goldblum and that, like, two really tall dudes.
Yeah.
It was kind of an odd thing on the screen.
Do you know that some people were hoping that Vince Vaughn would be the next Superman? Would he have worked? Would he work out to be Superman?
You're kidding me, man. You lie.
Some people were hoping because he's got. They were mentioning the length. My first choice would have
that
been.
That is the
Ben.
Only thing. Imagine Superman going to fucking.
Pudgy and shit.
Huh?
A little bit pudgy and pale.
God. Telling somebody who wants to jump off a building, don't do it, man. You're so fucking money.
But I don't know. I think I told you this, that the first choice for Superman, the original one, was. Before Chris Reeves signed on, they wanted Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I think he did tell me that.
And they also approached Paul Newman. And wow. he said, hell no, that's just stupid. But Burt, they wanted Burt.
Wow. That's so weird. But the Superman image has forever been ruined for us. You can call it ruined, I guess, or just simply settled by Chris Reeves' performance.
Mm-hmm.
Or portrayal of that
the best
character.
Clark Kent out there.
That's simply what people think of as Superman.
Yep.
Right? It might have been open to your Burt Reynolds, Paul Newman interpretation before they made that movie, but after that, forget about it. You pretty much have to try and cast somebody that looks like Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think people would have a difficult time buying the character if it looked very different. And it might be worth doing even, to just do your left field Superman.
Move away from
like
that,
people talk about. Dude, people spoke about Denzel for Superman.
Wow.
Like, why not? Just fucking, you know, throw it on his head, man. Do it. Do a completely different thing because they did it with Green Lantern, you know. Although the Green Lantern thing is easier because it's just
when
past.
Is that coming out, though?
I don't know. I haven't even started yet. But I'm talking about the comic book. I don't know who's Green Lantern.
Oh.
But isn't it Bradley Cooper?
I don't know, dude. You are clued in on that
but
stuff.
The Green Lantern is easy because he passed on a ring. But I mean, but then he was a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they spoke about Harvey Dent as well. Denzel, again, was, you know, brought up in that discussion. Why not make Harvey Dent Denzel Washington? Nobody would give a shit. And I almost wish that they fucking did do that.
Because
I'm a huge
fan. Because we've seen his performance on Training
fan.
Day.
I would have bought that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Superman as a black guy, though?
Chris Reeves is so stuck in my head as well, dude. I don't know.
Be a bloody bold thing
yeah,
to do.
It would be interesting to see also
yeah,
how
it would
play
be, wouldn't it?
You know?
I mean, it's never going to be... I don't think a studio would ever make that
yeah.
movie.
They'd have to be independent.
And they can't do it. But I'd like to see an underground movie, maybe. Somebody.
I would have liked to. After seeing Freedom Land, I would have... Ben. as Superman, and Ben would bring a different vibe.
Hollywoodland.
Yeah, Ben would bring a different vibe to Superman, because the Clark Kent would also be different. But a lot of people say that Daredevil was like, ugh. Although I think Elektra was turd.
Dude, I couldn't finish watching it.
I mean, Jen Garner's cute in anything, but no.
Just didn't have enough going for it.
But you can't blame them. They don't know what the end product is going to be like. That's in the hands of the director. They're just doing their bits, you know. Oh,
why did they put Ewoks in Return of the Jedi?
He made an Ewoks movie before he did that. I thought about that yesterday, and I looked it up. Lucas made an Ewoks film before he did
Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
Seemed odd, right?
The plan was, apparently, because if you read up some shit and look up some shit, and the books that he's out, and there's this one book I have with him where he mentions a little bit about it, it was supposed to be, Leia was supposed to be taken to Chewbacca's home planet to be kept safe from harm or some shit like that. And there was no budget to do all these big fucking, you know, Chewbacca's running around and shit. And some shit
Wookies,
like that.
Wookies, dude.
Yeah, Wookies. And he opted out on that because he already did the Ewoks thing.
Can you do a Wookiee sound? You gotta give me more than that.
That's all I can think of. Can you do an Ewok sound?
No.
Can you do Arnold Mauschnig?
No. Not today.
Can you do Dear Diary?
Yeah, we're not gonna run through my list of previous impersonations.
Dude, what's that line again? I can't even do it. The Miss Moneypenny thing. Miss Moneypenny. That was bad.
I saw Entrapment today. And it's so weird that a guy like Sean Connery exists who speaks like that. I mean, he's having a conversation. You know, I'd be like,
imagine him as playing Kirk the way Shatner played Kirk.
Oh yeah, that's a
that would be funny as fuck, right? That would be an awesome spoof of a Star Trek movie.
But there is a person like Sean Connery who makes movies talking like that. Which I guess is
the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Without him, that line would not work.
It wouldn't. But I guess it says a lot about just his charm and you know.
A lot of people consider him one of the like their best actor. I wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't say
Connery
that.
Connery doesn't have range.
He's
really
a very cool person to watch, but you wouldn't ask him to fucking stretch and go way too far beyond what he.
And leave his toupee at home. It's too difficult.
Sorry?
The film that he got an Oscar for was where he actually let go of the toupees and went, you know, full Monty on the head. Untouchables, man.
Full Monty on the head.
He's always got a cover on, you know. And, I mean, the toupees in the Bond films are so fucking horrible, but he's you know, going with it, sporting them and shit. Are there sequels for you? How do you think that Bond has progressed over the years? Because people are crazy about Bond films.
I don't know, I can talk about the last one, which I thought was terrible.
Yeah, that was just like a hit and a miss.
And I don't know if it was unexpectedly terrible because of the choice in director. I mean, that guy made Finding Neverland and...
Which is a good film, though.
Yeah, and Stranger Than Fiction. Good movies, but, you know, there was nobody jumping through windows.
Yeah.
And
he couldn't pull off the Bourne Identity thing.
It looked like they were trying to make a Bourne movie, and it was...
And they failed at it.
Yeah, it was like Hitman. I also felt that they tried to make a Hitman...
That's a crap film.
It felt like a Bourne flick and failed.
Come on, there's got to be more sequels than the one that we've mentioned so far.
I actually dislike Quantum of Solace quite a bit. I think it's a terrible movie.
I don't like it at all, dude.
And that's the
Casino Royale was like it's a different Bond. I liked it.
That's why I enjoyed it so much.
I wouldn't call it a better film than the Bourne movies, as some people have said.
Are you kidding me, man?
You know, some people have said that.
Who said? Oh yes.
There you go. And I wouldn't go that far. That's just being stupid. But it's a good watch. Same as I also liked Goldeneye. Goldeneye for me was a new Bond. It was almost like an epiphany. Wow, they finally moved away from, you know. Because everybody, when people think of Bond, they still think of, you know, Sean Connery. They do, but people our age think of Roger Moore, right? Which is slapstick kind of, you know, kind of comedy thing.
It was the Bond I grew up with.
Second?
It was the Bond that I grew up
with. Same year. And that Bond is kind of slapsticky-ish, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. Which Bond is, according to Fleming, that's not him. And what Dalton tried to do, the Fleming Bond, and it didn't work for some reason. Because I think Roger Moore was still stuck in the people's psyches, as with like now with Superman with Christopher Reeve. But that's why like GoldenEye was kind of a move away from that. And it worked, though. And it was a fast-paced film as well. It was faster than the Timothy Dalton Bonds, because the Timothy Dalton Bonds is kind of slow-going. You know? If you can remember them.
No.
Okay.
They've been on recently. It seems like there's always a Bond movie on.
Wow.
But you know how I feel about those movies. Yeah. I can't bring myself to actually sit and watch them anymore.
But, I watched GoldenEye in the cinema on my own, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Why? Couldn't you get a date?
I couldn't. Yeah, my calendar was empty for that day. Yeah. I couldn't sort out something.
Okay.
But, no, I wanted to go and see it on
my own. It was a choice.
What did you think of Generations and First Contact? We see Generations as the first form of that genre, of that crew, and then First Contact is the sequel. Yeah. Did it get better, or was it not?
I'll tell you this, that I haven't seen those movies since the first time I saw them.
Wow.
So they kind of blend into one for me. The only one that really stands out is the bad one. The really terrible one. For the Next Generation guys.
Which one though?
Was Nemesis.
Oh yeah, that's...
I didn't watch them again after I had a First Contact wallpaper on my PC, I remember, after I watched First Contact. They had on for very long time. Mm. But I literally just saw them the one time in the cinema, you know, and never again. And the only one, as I say, that stands out is Nemesis, because it was so terrible. And I really wanted it to be good so bad. I remember thinking, it's going to get better now, it's going to get better now, and it just didn't.
I hope Abrams, or whatever they're going to get to do this, the follow-up for the new Star Trek.
But you tell me, how do you feel about those movies?
Generations is the better story. It's a bit slow, but it's good. First Contact's a lot more fun. But I wouldn't call it like a wow watch. It's a lot more fun.
Do you remember that thing as my computer background? My wallpaper?
Yeah, I remember that. Because, you got to see the Borg trying to kick ass and Worf being badass, you know. Which was cool. It was fun. It's like watching the new Star Trek movie now. It's just as much fun. Although the new Star Trek film is way more fun than that, though. And I watched it again on DVD recently, and it's way better on the big screen.
Oh.
So don't wait for DVD, or you have a big ass TV at home when you watch it at home, because it just works better on big screen. And I was surprised by the techniques that Abrams used, because I watched the making of and stuff. You would have people at low angles shining flashlights into the lens to give it flare effects and stuff. And the scene where they fall, where they do the
to
jump.
Give it, wait, he was creating lens flares.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just to give it a cool look for no other reason.
You know that Whedon did that.
Yeah, I know.
Firefly and Serenity.
And he mentioned Whedon. Which is why apparently he did it. Because he loved the look of it.
It did look cool.
Which is why I was surprised by that. Abrams is doing that.
Just copycat.
He's copycatting, but he's doing it look that we dig.
Oh.
Which is cool. And he used it in certain spots where you wouldn't expect him to do it.
And yeah, I have to just stick on Firefly and Serenity here. They kind of blur into one for me. But what Joss did with those things was the lens flares and... I mean, I know why. Because... when you watch sci-fi things, when you watch spaceships in fucking space, you can feel very removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did those things to make it more real, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, because you never really want the audience to think that this is a camera filming something. Movie making is about making people forget that it's a camera filming something. You just want them to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what Whedon did with the battle sequences in space was the exact opposite thing. He wanted you to feel as if there is a camera filming the spaceship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to create the realism in that way.
Yep.
Like, look, we really have a camera on a spaceship.
Yep.
You don't really think that way, but it was... I mean, that's what he...
But
it's very interesting,
you
don't you think?
Come up with,
he went the other way to make it more realistic.
Yep.
And he did it by the lens flares, and also the ship goes out of focus sometimes.
Yep.
You remember? Mm. And then the focus comes back, like a dude's fucking, you know,
he's trying to keep up.
I'm trying to get it back. And the camera shakes and things like that.
And that's another thing that he did.
Superbly.
That's another thing that Abrams did. He would like literally stand behind the camera and tap the side of it to give it just a little bit of a jiggle, but it would be random taps. He would have another guy on the other side also doing it. So he tried to get it not be like somebody who's doing it digitally, you know. And I have it, because it has to be totally random. And I watched the clips afterwards where he apparently did it the most, especially in the clip where they do the jump down to that fucking drill. Mm. That, you know, that was shot. Really cool and old school shot that he used. A big ass mirror that they're standing on looking up to the camera, and he's shaking the camera. That's the shot. And he used the, you know, the flashlight lens flares.
That's pretty cool. I was very impressed with what that guy did, and I didn't think he had it in him.
Same, yeah. And a lot of people were
freaked out. After MI3.
But, yeah. And a lot of people were freaked out by the fact that when he mentioned, we're going to go to the back lot and use a big-ass mirror for that sequence.
People can do interesting things with practicals, though. I mean, and I'm glad.
And a lot of people don't want to do practical shit anymore. A lot of people want to jump to just go, you know.
I'm glad to learn that he's that kind of guy. It's not at all in the same league, but Gus Van Sant, for instance, in the beginning of... Remember how the opening credits in Good Will Hunting, where you see him... It looks like you're looking through a kaleidoscope, almost. You see the equations and you see him...
I haven't seen that film in a long time, dude.
Gus literally just hung a weird crystal in the room and filmed through it.
Wow.
And you get this very cool effect. People shouldn't be scared to go practical. Mm-hmm. I mean, fuck, dude. Look at what Chris Nolan did with flipping a truck.
Yeah, and they did it for real.
Yeah, Kevin mentioned you went lo-fi to go hi-fi. I mean, we'd gotten so used to the Transformers that you saw that truck flip, and that was almost more impressive than all the CG shit we'd seen. I'd like to see directors do more of that.
Same, yeah. Which is why I was very impressed by the stuff that and the way he did things.
I'd actually like to see the behind-the-scenes stuff on the Star Trek movie, which is unusual for me. But I would, for that movie, I would like to see it. Movies that are, or rather, because we're kind of running out of time, movies that are begging for sequels, or sequels you'd like to see.
Oh, we forgot to mention another crap sequel that we are not going to watch, or we've never watched, probably. Punisher 2. I would have liked a proper sequel to that.
Is it officially called Punisher 2, or is it
Punisher
another
2.
Reboot?
No, okay. It's Punisher 2, and it's bad. We not watch. I'm so bad I don't want to watch it.
No.
But I would have liked a proper sequel to that.
Even though I told you that Kevin said he enjoyed that movie.
Kevin did? He needs to give himself an enema or something for saying shit like that.
He did once. He had like a... I think he had... He had enemas of some sort, or he had, what do they call it, colonic irrigation.
Do you know that there are people out there who want, and this shit has been running around on the net for a while now, they want a sequel to the Titanic.
Where the sister ship sinks. Didn't the Titanic sister ship sink as well?
No. One, there was three.
But they
ships.
Did make a sequel to the Titanic. It was Ghostbusters.
There was three. There was... What?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Second Ghostbusters.
Second one where they walk out.
With the Titanic.
The sister ship... Yeah, there was a sister ship that sank, but there was the other one that they used as a hospital ship during World War II.
Really? A ship that big?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so what do they want for the sequel?
The love story.
A prequel? No, wait,
no.
Not a prequel.
Jack's not dead. That's what people want.
Why am I thinking people? But he did die.
But then you can't call it the Titanic. It's, the ship is down. It's gone. Then you basically just want a love story. Then fuck the whole Titanic premise, you know.
Apparently,
come on with something else.
Apparently Winslet said she's not getting her kit off in movies anymore.
Say again?
Kate Winslet.
She's
apparently decreed that she's not going to take her clothes off in movies anymore.
Oh, after the reading.
The reader.
The reader. Have you seen
I guess she's one. I still haven't, dude. Ah.
I almost rented it the other day, but I got Star Trek rather, because it's $20 now a film, and you're not even in the cinema, so I was like, what the fuck? And I don't have...
What do you mean, what the
and
fuck?
And I didn't have the time. It's
what
a three-hour film.
You rather took the movie
that
you've
seen. I
didn't have
time, dude. That film is an hour and a half. Time constraint.
Time constraint.
You know, I have a full schedule.
No,
you know?
I think you invent time constraints.
What I would love
you,
to see
you're too off. Afraid to make decisions, so you invent time constraints for yourself. You simply tell yourself, but I can't do this now because I don't have the time for it. What you really mean is, I don't want to do this right now.
I'm curious to see what they're going to do with a follow-up for Superman Returns.
At Man of Steel, but it's stalled, it seems. It's not going anywhere.
Because they have to do something to fix that shit.
They have to. I don't know if they want to, if they just want to lay low for a while.
And have people forget.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm suggesting, isn't it? But they will never. But just, it'd feel more natural to wait a little while. And it does seem like the mean reboot.
Superman
Returns was a very funny story because it wasn't really, it wasn't an origin story. I mean, it was a sequel, but it didn't feel like a sequel. Very iffy. It didn't have... Really, what it was lacking was an identity, and which is why those, in comparison with Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, which had definite identities. I mean, he made a flat-out origin story with Batman Begins. I mean, that's exactly what the name says as well, right? Origin story. And then he made the fucking crime movie, right? You have to give the movie an identity. Yeah. You can't just make a comic book movie.
But didn't we at some point think that the fact that they're not doing an origins film is a good thing with the Superman thing because of the people's...
Well, I'm not saying you should have done an origin. I'm just saying you should have made a fucking sequel. And I don't know what they're going to do now. I mean, I don't know what Man of Steel is. Okay. It must just be a sequel. And
it could be something totally different, like with the G.I. Joe movie where it's got nothing to do with G.I. Joe.
Dude, I don't know anything about the G.I. Joe movie.
Apparently it's kick-ass, but I don't
want to
watch it.
I know a lot of people need to go watch it.
A lot of people kept saying that it's awesome, and at that time I was going on about Star Trek. Watch Star Trek, forget G.I. Joe. And the people go, no, G.I. Joe is awesome. So I'm like, I don't know. As for another sequel, what else? I really want to see what Aronofsky is going to do with the RoboCop thing. But that's a redo, it's not a sequel.
District 9.
Yeah, can't wait to see what they're going to do with that.
There are many people who say that, look, it's a perfect movie, leave it. But I think it's a perfect movie to start...
To keep going on with.
To create a universe.
Exactly.
And he wants to. And why not, man?
Yeah, you got a vehicle like that to move on with, do it.
You can create a universe to rival the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and George Lucas pretty much fucked up that universe, so,
I'm very keen on seeing District 10 or whatever the fuck
you
call it.
Do you think?
And it's a trilogy, right? It's set up for a trilogy because the next movie, there's no Vickers in the next movie. I'd like to not see him.
Yeah.
But you show Christopher's journey back to his planet.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I would like to see.
And at the end of that movie, he comes back
to come and save Vickers.
And then the end of the trilogy is where Vickers
becomes Vickers.
It's his story again, but if he becomes himself again or whatever happens,
That would be cool.
That's
a trilogy, right?
Trilogy written all over it.
Yeah.
So they should just do it.
But what did I want to say now? Do you think? Because the other night I watched, last night actually, I watched A New Hope, Star Wars, and I came to the conclusion. Do you think the fact that Lucas went and did a prequel, that guy's got no new stories? He cannot come up with new shit, because apparently that shit was written when he did those first three. Because he had the story, the whole thing was there. He used the bit that he made because of budgetary reasons and all that.
But isn't there, I mean, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head now, but aren't there logical inconsistencies in the prequels?
Because he's a bad writer. That's what I think. That's the conclusion I came to. Because there's other authors who've written Star Wars follow-ups. That's really good. I've read them. It's also a trilogy, and it picks up where Star Wars, the trilogy, that ends. And it's really cool. It would work as movies, but all the actors are too old to do them now. But I just think Lucas has got nothing fresh going on in himself anymore. Because what other film has he done?
Yeah, well, look, it's one thing
that's
to say
worth
that
the watch.
Doesn't have... What else has he done?
That's worth the watch.
No, never mind that. What else has he done?
That duck movie.
Okay, forgetting Howard the Duck. What else has he done?
I don't know. He was involved with Indiana Jones.
I can't think of a...
He was a producer.
I can't think of a George Lucas movie.
Yeah. Didn't he do American Graffiti?
Yeah, but that was like... That was
way back.
Right at the beginning, dude. That was a young Harrison Ford. And it makes me kind of sad.
But which is why I think he's got no fresh ideas. He can't get him out of this bog that is in now. Because look, he made an animation, Star Wars, and he's got the Star Wars game out again, another new game. But how do you think he can salvage this fuck up that he can, and he fix what the fuck he did? Because there's a lot of fanboys out there who are not happy.
Yeah, but I don't even...
As well. I mean, there's a lot that think you did a cool job, but there's a lot also that's going like, dude, what the fuck have you done?
I've never heard George Lucas try and explain himself, and I guess I'd like to. Like, why does he... What does he intend for the Star Wars universe? Does he want to do other things?
Because you can go so many places with that thing, because it's the fucking universe that he created. Forget Han Solo, do a different story, you know? Because Han is too old now. Han has already killed Indiana Jones. And then again, Spielberg and Lucas are going to try and fix what they did with... I don't think they're going to try and fix it. He's going to try and make more money with another Indiana Jones film. Because Harrison is, what, almost 70 now? So he's going to make some bank, some serious bank, and retire. Or he might do a Morgan Freeman and keep on going and just make money and make crap films.
Would you like to see a sequel to Passion of the Christ?
You mean him coming back?
Passion of the Christ 2, The Resurrection.
And then Simmel loses his head afterwards and blows his brains out? Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Because that boy's lost it.
Well, how did Passion of the Christ end?
I think he dies.
But there's no resurrection in that movie,
no,
is there?
There's no be right back.
That's the second movie, the
that's
resurrection.
The second film, yeah.
And then the third one is the second coming.
No, isn't that supposed to be, what's the English name for Revelations?
What?
We all die. The second coming, yeah, you're right.
What are you talking about?
But yeah. Well, what movie would you like to see a sequel of?
Fucking Passion of the Christ.
I want to see
Jesus come back, not as a lamb, but as a lion. Kicking ass.
You're talking about Narnia now. Forget Narnia.
That is the Narnia movie.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis all up his own Christian ass.
Exactly. What do you think of those films? I can't bring myself to watch them. I watched the first one. I will not watch the second one.
I did watch the second one. It was okay.
And Harry Potter, you like Potter? I do not.
I watched three of those movies. I don't think I've seen the fourth one. But I have no problem with them.
Because of
That's
you.
Cool.
Because
like
of
magic.
You saying it's worth a watch, I watched the third one. And it's not worth a watch.
It's magic.
It's not good. I liked it. No, it just... I guess
you got to buy into a bunch of kids at a magic school. In
it rubs me wrong. It just doesn't work for me. I don't know. It looks cool, some of the shit they do. I mean, some of the CGI stuff, but I don't know that.
Dude, I'm not going to try and
convert you to
Potterism. So,
would you like a movie?
Am I not offended?
Would you like a movie of the P.G. Woodhouse books? And can it be done?
No. They've made a BBC TV series with Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry, and it's genius.
Wow, I didn't know this. Would you like to see the Magnum P.I. movie that apparently they are going to make?
Yes. Make it, by all means, make it.
And the A-Team film that they're doing now?
Yeah, because Schalter's in the movie. And,
have you seen Knight Rider yet?
No.
The film, which is bad. I watched it. And it was a made-for-TV film. It was never made for cinematic release.
No, that's what you told me, but I haven't seen it yet. I was going to illegally download it one time, but then my conscience got the... Nah, I'm lying. I just... laptop ran out of power.
But what would you like to see a sequel of, other than The Passion of the Christ?
That's the question. I'd really, seriously, though, like to see The Second Coming.
It would be cool to see how they would depict it and all that. But
fuck yes, dude, because it's the cool end of the world story that isn't just Arnold or some guy trying to shut down the Antichrist. It's actually got Jesus coming back. And as I say, he's fucking Leonidas. Dude.
Yeah, he's kicking ass.
Although it's kind of lame in Revelation how he wipes out everybody just by, I think...
Speaking word? The word of God?
Speaking word or something like that. I want to see him...
He's doing a Neo.
In, like, armor. And, yeah, just, like, kung fuing his way through the... armies of the Antichrist.
But other than that, what else would you like to see? Because I'm drawing a blank here on what... There must be some more that I can think of, but I'm going to use you as my...
District 9 is
as my muse.
The one that's most fresh in my mind. Cause it's the
most recent, awesome film. And obviously the Star Trek follow-up, we have to, we want to see it.
Yeah, those are established franchises, though. Mm. It's almost... It's a weird thing in modern cinema, though, where... I don't know... it might be me romanticizing cinema's past, but I kind of want to say that a movie earned a sequel by being good firstly, and then by the creators of the movie having a worthwhile story to tell, whereas now it seems that money,
and then you make another one.
You just automatically have to make another one.
It's horrible.
And then, you know, things happen, like Spider-Man 3.
Oh. Are they doing another one?
Yeah, I think Raimi says he wants to get back to basics, which is good to hear, because Sam Raimi makes a good... You know, if Sam Raimi makes a good movie, it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
So I'm all for him trying to...
Get back to basics.
...redeem himself. And he has to.
Oh, we forgot awesome sequels, Evil Dead 2.
Yes, wow.
And 3.
How the fuck did I forget that? True.
But there's a reason why we try to forget it.
What?
Some asshole has...
Oh, yeah, my forever lost copies, it seems. But, yeah, no, of course. They would be right up there with the best sequels ever made.
Yep. The Ring 2, not so much.
I still haven't seen it. So
still haven't seen it?
No.
Wow. You're missing nothing.
I will watch it, of course, because of curiosity. But as for movies that I feel really need sequels... I don't know.
We are the third installment to the Batman movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It kind of seems
that's
like
one we want. That's one of the wishes, right? On our wish list.
Yeah, but it's very conditional. Because
and I would like to see Ang Lee do the Hulk follow. Incredible Hulk is not a follow up for me. I want to see Ang Lee do a sequel to Ang Lee's Hulk.
I wanted to see it, but I just think there's no chance we're ever going
to
see something
again. I know, but this is a wish list. You
yeah,
know.
I would very much
I would like
to
see
it. And
so if you're listening, Mr. Lee,
we know
do it!
We know
you can do it, do it! What else is there?
Food. That's it for us.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, and thanks for listening, knuckleheads.
Tally-ho. Running things to take my swine, letting all the people know that I'm back to run the show. Cause what they did, you know, was wrong, and all the nasty things you've done. So baby, listen carefully while I sing my comeback song. You lied to me, she said she'd never turn.